ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Think about all the things you do to relax, hopefully mostly healthy things, but often they take time or leaving the house. Well, if I told you there was a way to calm yourself and cope with the stresses of life quickly and easily and that relied only on your own body, well, that sounds pretty convenient. The vagus nerve is part of our rest and digest system, the parasympathetic nervous system, and it's becoming increasingly well known. How effective is it, though? Anna Ferguson is a counsellor who tries to break down stigma around mental health, and she's written a book called The Vagus Nerve Reset. Anna Ferguson, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
It's a pleasure. And Teresa Larkin is Associate Professor of Medical Sciences at the University of Wollongong. She's been focusing on using medical knowledge to benefit health outcomes, and she has a keen interest in the vagus nerve. Teresa Larkin, great to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm excited for it as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I have had a lot of friends talk to me about the vagus nerve over the last few years. And I'd be interested too, if you're listening to this discussion, how you calm yourself down. We'll run those through the vagus nerve filter when you tell us your strategies via text 0418 226 576. Teresa, let's talk anatomy first. You teach that to medical students. What and where is the vagus nerve, or nerves more accurately?
Yeah, that's right. So we have two vagus nerves. We have a left and a right vagus nerve. And as you said in the intro, they're the main nerves of the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest, digest, and restore. So they start in the brainstem, which is the lower part of our brain. They travel directly down the neck, and they give off branches to things in the head and the neck, so even our larynx or our voice box. Then they travel into the chest cavity and they innervate, which means they connect to and activate the heart and the lungs. Then they also dive through the diaphragm and they connect with nearly all the organs in our abdominal and pelvic cavities. So it gets its name from vague and wandering. And I always tell my students it's a beautiful nerve. So as it passes down the neck, it's around 5 millimetres in diameter, which is very easy to see. And it literally is a beautiful nerve with all its fibres. And then we see many, many fibres, you know, pass off it to the different organs. It also wraps around the esophagus as it then passes through the diaphragm. And as I said, then it connects to nearly all of the organs in our thoracic and abdominal cavities.
Wow. So it potentially could be affecting a whole range of organs and systems in our bodies. Tell us a little bit, Teresa, about the parasympathetic nervous system and how the vagus nerve relates to it.
Yeah, so the parasympathetic nervous system is the antidote to our stress-related nervous system, which is the sympathetic nervous system. So that's what gives us our fight or flight response. The parasympathetic nervous system is only comprised of two main veins, and they're the left and right vagus nerves, but also just one more left and right pelvic splanchnic nerves, they're called. And they just do some organs that are very much right down in our pelvis. So the vagus nerve is the parasympathetic nervous system for most of our body. So I think that's something that people sort of get confused with. They think that it's something separate, but the vagus nerves are our parasympathetic nervous system. And so, as I said, that the vagus nerves are innervating pretty much all of our organs, so is the sympathetic nervous system. And so they always work together. There's a balance. You know, we have higher sympathetic activity if it's in a fight or flight response, or we have higher parasympathetic activity if we're in a calm, a restful, a social environment. And that's driven by, you know, the stressors or the situation that we're in. And the difference is that's also quite interesting is that while we have just the two vagus nerves and the two pelvic nerves for the whole of the parasympathetic nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system has more a scattergun approach. So it's got heaps and heaps of nerves and heaps of branches. And that's because when we have a sympathetic response, we want it to go, you know, increase our heart rate, increase blood to the muscles so that we can fight or flight. Whereas the parasympathetic is more focused, more controlled, as it does its rest, digest and restore activities.
That restore aspect is really, really interesting when it comes to what the vagus nerve can do for us. And, you know, having heard you, Teresa, talk about how those nerves infiltrate all those organs that are associated with, you know, being calm or not calm, our diaphragm, our gut, our heart, all kinds of things. Anna Ferguson, you're a trained counsellor with a background in psychology, but tell us a bit about how you became so interested in mental health, because it's been a pretty difficult road for you, starting with a roller coaster accident when you were 10. How did that affect you?
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster of emotions, quite literally. So when I was 10 years old, I was a very outgoing, very vivacious young child. And then it was actually the first time I was tall enough to go on a roller coaster ride. And it did not end the way that I had anticipated it. And the kind of subsequent consequence of that was obviously some physical issues. I had a bruised heart, which was the main concern, so an elevated heart rate. I was in hospital for a prolonged stay. But what I didn't really understand at the time, or really kind of have the capacity to move through in a really healthy and nuanced way, was the mental aspect of that. So what was once a life that gave me a lot of pleasure turned to one where there was a lot of fear and anger towards those around me as well. So that led me down a path of, I was diagnosed with major depressive disorder, generalized anxiety disorder. I was a very rebellious teenager. I'd been to therapy for many, many years of my life from that point on. And I felt like I was constantly spinning my wheels. I was very good at intellectualizing my emotions and telling my story and understanding what had happened, but I didn't have the how of to move through what was actually occurring within my body. So the physical symptoms of anxiety and depression, obviously very different to one another. Depressive symptoms are quite, they're very low energy, low motivation, helplessness, whereas anxiety is much higher paced energy. And so I would titrate between these two phases and states of being. And that kind of pushed me towards wanting to find an approach that did work for me. And what happened was I one day was driving down the road and I saw a mixed martial arts gym. And this was the first time that I'd kind of been interested in doing something outside of the home. I'd been very, very much a recluse for a while and wanted to explore what this was. And when I finished that session, it was the first time that I felt my body actually relaxed in a really long time. And so that was kind of the catalyst for me to further explore why it was such a powerful shift in my body. When I did this physical movement, it created a different outcome to me talking about my experience. And so that was really the catalyst that led me down studying psychology and becoming a counselor and in learning about the vagus nerve and understanding my nervous system and how these two systems between the body and mind are so intricately linked. They're not separate to one another. And so when we can harness that power of the body, we can also really influence our mental health and well-being.
Yes, you write really interestingly about that sense of disconnection you felt as a young person. So your mind was saying, everything's fine, leave me alone, this is all finished and nothing's wrong, but your body and your feelings were telling you otherwise. How did you come to be so interested in the effects that the vagus nerve could have and start to explore the changes you could make to kind of tap into those effects?
Yeah, so it really started when I was at university studying psychology, and I had a guest lecturer talk about the gut-brain axis. And this was the first time that I had really heard about this kind of phenomenon of the gut and the brain being connected and how what we eat can impact our mood. But that kind of led me down a pathway of also understanding that the vagus nerve is part of the connection between the brain and the rest of the body, and what we do in terms of how we nourish our body also impacts how the vagus nerve can communicate with the brain, and certain neurotransmitters such as serotonin are created in the gut. So that was kind of the in for me to start exploring this, and then further understanding the the vast impact of our parasympathetic nervous system on every single organ system, like Teresa was talking about, how we can utilize these different body systems to create a cohesive space for us to operate in to feel calm and grounded in times of need.
I love how the book outlines some ways to regulate ourselves if we find we're in a fight or flight state, because you point out that, you know, there's different states. There's fight or flight and then there's freeze and shutdown. If you're in fight or flight, you list things like push-ups and jumping and even chewing. Why are they good things to do?
Yeah, so chewing is an interesting one because it uses the proprioceptive sensory input system, which is basically how our body determines where we are in our environment in space. And we get this feedback from our muscles, from our fascia. And when we chew, we use our mandibles, our jaw muscles to kind of create this sense of where we are, our location of our body. So that proprioceptive sensory input has a really calming and organizing effect on the body. But if you look at like push-ups or jumping jacks, they are an exertion of energy. So when you're in that sympathetic state, like Teresa was saying, it's an all systems go. You want to have this mobilization and activation. So we want to utilize that energy. Otherwise, our body's stress response is not able to come back down to actually utilize the parasympathetic nervous system and vagus nerve to reclaim that sense of calm within our mind and body. So a lot of this is about releasing the energy that we have when we're utilizing sympathetic mobilization, and also harnessing different systems like proprioceptive sensory input.
You write too that, you know, if you're in that hyper aroused state, then things like cold exposure and singing are effective as well. But then if you're in freeze mode, hypo aroused state or a shutdown, what's the approach there? Is it different?
Absolutely. It's still the same. We still want to arouse the system because we're in a depressed state. So our central nervous system has become depressed, as in we are breathing a lot slower, our heart rate is slower, we often feel cooler to touch as well. We're in that depressed state. So we want to do activities that can also arouse our nervous system, but we want to do them in a far more methodical and slow and intentional way. So things like warmth can really activate the parasympathetic nervous system, movement, but more of a gentle movement in which we're being far more introspective and focusing on our breathing can also create arousal, but also a calming effect. So we want to create a small amount of arousal, and then we want to move into the sympathetic nervous system so that we can discharge that energy, and then we can come back down to that state of calm.
We're speaking at the moment with Anna Ferguson, who's the author of a book called The Vagus Nerve Reset. She's a counsellor who tries to break down stigma around mental health in various ways. And Teresa Larkin, who's Associate Professor of Medical Science at the University of Wollongong. Teresa, you argue that social connections can also play a part when we're trying to reset our parasympathetic nervous system. So not just things like physical movement, but also the ways we relate to people. How does that work?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it was really interesting hearing Anna talk about how she's sort of been a recluse and then she went to the mixed martial arts, and the movement absolutely would help in the way that Anna has described. But another aspect of that is the social aspect. And so when we're social and when we're with people with whom we are safe and we're able to communicate and we use our facial expression and our vocalization, that does stimulate the vagus nerves because it tells our body that we're safe and we don't need to be in a sympathetic fight or flight. And so that really does stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system and the vagus nerves, even just using our voice box does. It's probably not when you're yelling and you're angry, but using your voice box, you know, when you're happy and you've got, you know, a nice expression, because the vagus nerves do innervate our larynx. And that's why, as Anna mentions in the book as well, you know, things like the humming and the buzzing, you know, noises can stimulate the vagus nerves. But yeah, it's very interesting because there is this difference between the shutdown, you know, the when someone might be depressed versus the high energy of the generalized anxiety disorder. And as Anna had said, the vagus nerves can really bring us into the middle. And that's because our shutdown mode, that's a protective mechanism, you know, even from all animals have that, vertebrates. And so that's really about reducing metabolic and oxygen demands. And it's saying we can't even socialize. You know, we might be killed here. This is what the brain think, you know, evolutionary. And you don't even want to socialize. And so socializing can bring us out of this lowered, you know, shutdown process, but it can also then reduce our stress as well. So then we have also an effect of the hormone oxytocin. But essentially it's all about, and this I noted was in Anna's book, it's all about feeling safe. Because when we feel safe and we have security, our body can relax. And that's all about the vagus nerves. Even if we just think about during a day, the time that we do most of our digestion and where the gut is really restored and we have that rest and digest, which is the vagus nerves, ideally that happens overnight when we're sleeping, where we are, our body essentially is saying we are safe, you know, for people who are in a safe environment, a safe bed and everything. So yeah, definitely the socializing is absolutely related to the safeness, because as humans we developed to live and survive and thrive in groups. So that's why we have that link with the vagus nerves.
It's really interesting reading some of the things that you've written, Teresa, on the Conversation website, for example, about the simple things we can do to reset our vagus nerve and reach that calm place, like looking at clouds or hanging out with friends or smiling. And that's quite comforting, because it seems to be quite a lot of devices out there on the market aimed at, you know, getting people to manipulate or stimulate their vagus nerves through, I don't know, machinery. Is that a good idea, or should we perhaps, Teresa, stick with, you know, the strategies that you've outlined?
Yes, it's much better to stick with the strategies that we can do ourselves and that we have more control over. There is approval to use peripheral vagus nerve stimulation by the FDA, and that's because there's a branch from the vagus nerves that are actually innervating or connecting to the outside of our ear. So where you would stick your finger in your ear, that bit and the little bit above it. And that has been used for treatment-resistant depression, for example. They found that it had a similar effect as antidepressants, but we all know that that's nowhere near 100%. So it might affect around 50% of people. It might improve their symptoms. But the benefit in comparison to antidepressants is that this doesn't have the side effects. But that's something that, you know, you need to have instructions on, and you obviously need that to be guided by a clinician. Whereas, yeah, absolutely, one of the best things or easiest things that we can do to stimulate our vagus nerves is to slow down our exhalation or our out-breath. And anyone can even feel this for themselves. So if you're feeling your pulse, say, down at your wrist, when you do a deep inhalation and in-breath, your heart rate naturally speeds up. And then when you slow your out-breath down, it will slow down. And that's, again, telling your body. It's a way that you're physically telling your body we are safe, because if you had to run somewhere and you were in fight or flight, your breathing gets faster because your body is, you know, hearing we are in danger, we might need to run. But if you're able to slow your breath down, it's, as Anna was saying, that connection with the gut-brain axis, that's a way that your body is then also communicating back to your brain.
Mm. It's really interesting that this is not the first time that slow, deep breathing has been recommended and practiced on Life Matters, and hopefully it won't be the last. Anna, thanks so much for walking us through that.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Anna Ferguson is the author of The Vagus Nerve Reset, which explains in lovely, simple ways how the vagus nerve system, I guess, works in our bodies, and some ways we can tap into it to help ourselves deal with the stresses of life. She's a counsellor trained in anxiety management. And Teresa Larkin, great to have you part of this discussion too. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Teresa's an Associate Professor of Medical Sciences at the University of Wollongong.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations, live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.